Question, are we shooting ourselves in the foot here in Connecticut when it comes to attracting, recruiting, and retaining people to teach? A new survey that was just conducted by the Connecticut Education Association, which is Connecticut's largest teachers union, shows 90% of student teachers in our state are deeply concerned about affording basic needs like groceries, and more than 80% of the respondents say unpaid student teaching makes them feel exploited. That's why there's a renewed call for paid student teaching in Connecticut. To talk more about this, we have Hannah Spinner here, who is a graduate student at UConn pursuing a teaching career. She also chairs the CEA's statewide Aspiring Educators program. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
I mean, I'll get right to the crux of that. Do you think having unpaid student teachers will either force people out of the industry altogether or forces them to want to look outside of Connecticut for teachers' jobs?
100%. I mean, in the last 5 years, we've had a 15% decrease in our educator preparation program enrollment numbers. And I have to confidently say that, you know, the financial barriers to becoming a teacher are a big part of it, but also the return on investment is low for a lot of these students. And they don't see, you know, the benefit in being a teacher beyond what being a teacher offers. We do it because we love teaching and we love helping students. But when you feel like you can't get by and it's not a viable option for you, you're so pushed out of the profession. You have to look elsewhere.
So it sounds crazy, but you're talking almost like an internship versus a paid internship, essentially. So most people, if they want to get job experience when they're in college, are going to get an internship. A lot of the times they're not paid for it, though. But what you're saying is with student teachers, I mean, I would think that that's a little bit different than just kind of getting coffee for people or you know, being behind the scenes or kind of getting, I'd say, your feet wet in the industry. Because, I mean, student teachers, correct me if I'm wrong, you're actually in the classroom. You're actually helping sometimes with curriculum, helping teachers, right? I mean, talk about the role of a student teacher differently than maybe a typical internship that's unpaid.
Well, Melissa, you're entirely correct in what you're saying. I mean, I can speak to my own experience. I student taught in this spring, and I contributed over 40 hours a week because I was in the school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. I went home, and I prepped lessons, and I graded assessments, and I made sure that I knew the curriculum so that I was able to teach. And state regulations require that student teachers contribute at least 10 weeks of full-time teaching in a school in order to graduate. So you're doing essentially the work of the teacher, but you're not getting paid for any of it. So that's a big part of it. But also, I have to say that there are a lot of paid internships out there. I've had friends in the business field and the engineering field get paid internships, and one of my friends made more than I make in a single year in her internship in 3 months.
Wow.
So it's incredibly disheartening. Yeah, it's incredibly disheartening as a student teacher, you know, seeing everybody else get the opportunities that you don't, especially because prior to student teaching, you go in with a lot of your own prior experiences. Maybe you've worked in preschools or, you know, in your program, they often put you in different placements prior to your student teaching so that you can gain experience and you're more well prepared for that student teaching. So it almost more resembles an apprenticeship in a sense, right? But instead of an earn-as-you-learn mentality, there's a pay-so-you-learn mentality, and it's really difficult.
I'm glad you said apprenticeship, because that's what it kind of reminds me of is, you know, if you want to be a plumber, for example, you go through the apprenticeship first, but it's not like you're not getting paid. I mean, you're not doing free labor. You are getting paid even in an apprenticeship. So I'm glad you said that. I'm curious, though, is Connecticut an outlier when it comes to paying student teachers? Like, do other states, even surrounding states, do they pay their student teachers or not?
Many of them have started to. At least 10 states have implemented statewide paid student teaching, some of those being Maryland and Kentucky. And Pennsylvania has just started a program in the last year, and that's shown a lot of promise. So we're really looking to those states as examples for us, and it's time for Connecticut to make that same change.
I mean, I don't know if you have these numbers, Hannah. It certainly doesn't fall on you to have them. But like, I'm trying to think of how many student teachers Connecticut even has, like on average. Because it always comes down to the God Almighty buck, right? That's always the big, you know, oh, is it worth investing or not? But I mean, when you look at some of the biggest shortages we have in Connecticut, and I'm sure it's nationwide, teachers are up there. They're up there with healthcare workers, law enforcement. I mean, the backbone of society, essentially. So to me, I mean, I do think it's kind of a no-brainer if we're struggling to especially have diversity. But, you know, one of the things I know the governor's talked about is we don't have enough even just male teachers, for example. So if we really want to focus on attracting a bigger pool of great teachers, especially if they're already getting their education here in Connecticut and we don't want them to leave the state, you know, it seems like a no-brainer to start investing in that. But I just don't know. Are there a lot of student teachers in Connecticut that we're looking at millions and millions of dollars we'd have to invest?
So, you know, the funding for it, it has not been exactly decided. We're still working on crunching those numbers. But our best estimate of our number of student teachers lies somewhere between 1,200 and 1,300 student teachers in our state. And not all of them do traditional pathways. So in Connecticut, there are some paid pathways, but they're really only available to people who are doing alternative certification in postgraduate settings. So that's 14% of our aspiring educators in 2023 and 2024. So that's a really small proportion. And the rest of us don't have that opportunity. There was no way for me to get that. It could be a big investment, but like you said, it's a worthwhile investment. And in the grand scheme of things, when it makes a long-term change, not only for our aspiring educators' lives, but also in our school systems by helping to challenge some of those shortages, that's worthwhile. We've seen in other states that when they do implement paid student teaching, it actually has increased their teacher candidates' diversity, and it's lessened those financial barriers. So it's a two-for-one deal for us, and it would be a smart idea for Connecticut to invest in it.
Okay, so I'm no mathematician, and of course I'm talking to, you know, a teacher, somebody in education. But I just really quickly pulled out my calculator based on the numbers you gave me. Let's say you made $20 an hour, 40 hours a week. You're talking $800. Then you do it times 10 weeks, you were saying. If you do a program for 10 weeks, you're talking $8,000 per student teacher. Do that by 1,200 teachers, you're talking about $9.6 million. In the grand scheme of things, to your point, Hannah, the amount of money Connecticut has, and granted, I understand we have a lot of needs out there, we really do, but I think if we're learning anything, we know education, again, is something that we have to invest in and we need to focus on across the state. $9.6 million, and again, that I'm just throwing random numbers out there, but we... To me, that is, in what you're saying, it is worth the investment, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. You know, I've crunched some of those numbers, too. And by an estimate like that, that is less than 1% of our state's budget. So there's ways that we're looking at, you know, reallocating some money so that we can fund this. And where there's a will, there's a way. And it's really not a question of if we have the money, but if we choose to use the money to invest in our student teachers.
Well, and it's not like you're not also still paying for college. I mean, so like right now,
you're
a student teacher, right? That's if you're a student teacher, but you're paying for a graduate degree right now at UConn. If anything, you're losing money just to get into a profession that you're going to still have to pay back for many, many years to come. I mean, am I wrong in saying that?
No, absolutely not. We know that many student teachers and people who are education majors in general take out loans for their education. And you do pay full tuition when you student teach. So you're actually, again, paying to have the opportunity to graduate, which is really backwards when you think about it. And we also know that with all of those loans, sometimes student teachers sometimes have to take out additional loans just to make ends meet while they student teach, because many of them can't afford to work or don't have the time to work.
So do you feel like, again, we have Hannah Spinner here, who is a graduate student currently at UConn, wants to pursue a teaching career, and she also chairs the CEA Statewide Aspiring Educators Program. I mean, I should ask you this question, Hannah, because you've given enough reason to bail if you really wanted to, but why do you stay?
Everyone loves education because you're making a change in the world. and you want to be able to contribute to society, to contribute to the next generation. And you do it because you love it. It's a profession of passion. No one really goes into it for the pay. But when you don't feel valued in your job and you don't see the return on investment, it can be hard for people to want to become a teacher. And they have to go against what they love doing just so they can make a better financial life for themselves. So, you know, by paying student teachers, we can add value to student teachers' lives and make them realize that this can be a profession for them and they can get that education degree and become a teacher just like they want to.
Not to put you on the spot in front of tens of thousands of people at a clip who are listening right now, but have you debated leaving Connecticut because you don't feel valued?
You know, I personally have not, but I can't speak for everybody. I know many people from my own high school. I grew up in Connecticut. I know many people from my own high school that did go outside of Connecticut to teach and have stayed there. So I can only speak to my own experience, but I can assume that many people have considered that point that you're making there.
So obviously the call to action is for the state of Connecticut to invest in this, to put this in their budget. I mean, is that something that you guys are going to be up at the state capitol come February when the legislative session starts, you know, advocating for this? Or have you already started talking to state senators or state reps about it? I mean, I know the CEA is calling for it, but what are sort of the next steps after this survey was released?
Well, you're completely correct that we are going to be raising a bill with the help of the Education Committee and some legislators that have been working with us on this issue. And we're extremely grateful for all of their support. But also today we will have a press conference at the Legislative Office Building, and it begins at 2 p.m. You can tune in on our Connecticut Education Association Facebook Live stream of the press conference, and you can learn a little bit more about our survey results and hear from some other aspiring educators and our legislators on why this is a worthwhile investment.
Well, Hannah Spinner, I want to thank you so much for giving us your perspective. Good luck, obviously, in your career, and we will certainly be hearing more about this announcement, and we'll link people to that survey so they can read more of the details of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.